Good morning. This is Bud Carey and Old Radio Theater. We're doing it here in the studios today at KPFA Live, which we don't do too often, but we like to do it every so often so that we can keep in contact with you. I have today with me our Director of Drama and Literature, Eric Bowersfeld, and a good friend, Frank Ritterman, sitting in to see how we do all this. And every time Eric and I have done this, I really have to apologize. We have a brilliant engineer, John Hester, and we never give him credit. So I want to say, John, thank you. You always make us sound wonderful. Eric, what have you been up to since we did this last?
Since we did this last.
In September, as a matter of fact.
Well, I was out of the country, into another country, in Germany and France.
Oh, wonderful.
London. They have radio, too. They don't have old radio, incidentally. Most of the things that they did in the early days are as good as new, and they broadcast them. Rebroadcast them regularly.
So then what we do is rather unique.
In fact, West Germany was quite impressed with what we do here at KPFA. They were amazed that we do so much and appalled that we do it for so little.
I'm sure.
It pay, that is.
Yes.
Well, we have a phone number that we put to good use on these live programs with Bud Carey. It's called 848-4425, and that number will get you right into our studios to ask Bud any questions you'd like about old radio and about his programming coming up in the next several months.
Yes, and I also want to ask again, like we always do, not to call while we're playing things, because we'd rather share your telephone calls on the air with other listeners. Sometimes I don't have the answer to everything, and people will call in and give us that answer, which is a fountain of information when we do this.
But what have you been doing since last we were here?
Well, I was a year older yesterday.
A year older?
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't believe it. You look exactly the same as you did 2 days ago.
Oh, thank you, but I haven't seen you for 2 months.
That's right.
Well, shall we say what we're going to try to do today?
Yeah, well, our usual procedure is to play small things, mm-hmm. Not too long, that we can talk about a little bit, that represent some of the major people in radio, and there's always a different variety. We usually leave Judy Canova out, but this time she's going to be with...
Yeah, that's the funny story. I almost always put her on last, and we run out of time, and we never get to play Judy. So today I put her on first.
She has a guest, Ezio Pinza.
Yeah, the Judy Canova show was really quite a show. NBC spared no expense with that particular program. They would rent out the big auditorium out in Santa Monica where the Academy Awards used to be presented. And all kinds of people were on. Ezio Pinza, virtually everybody.
Yeah.
And her regulars were Joe Carnes, who used to be known as the Man in Black on Suspense, and Verna Felton, who played Red Skelton's grandma.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this particular one, Ezio Pinza pays a visit to Judy, and she's done a little phony situation.
Oh, you look wonderful, Mr. Pinza.
Thank you. Is Mr. Thornton in?
Yes, I'll buzz him.
Ezio, good to see you. How are you, Thornton?
Oh, Mr. Thornton, may I go to lunch?
Yes, of course, Miss Harris. Come on in, Ezio. Sit down. You know, I've been thinking that for your next tour...
Howdy, is this here the Thornton Theatrical Agency?
Yes.
Well, I got a problem.
Well, just wear a long veil and nobody will notice it.
Hey, look, mister, I'm in a lot of trouble. You see, I promised to bring Ezio Pinza to a party tonight. I bragged that he was an old friend of mine.
You did, eh?
Yeah, and of course he's not a friend of mine at all. See, I don't know Pinza from pastrami. But you see, I'm in trouble, and I gotta hire a singer to impersonate Ezio Pinza.
Impersonate Pinza? Why, young lady, do you realize...
Oh, just a moment, Thornton. How much were you planning to pay this singer who is to impersonate Ezio Pinza?
Oh, well, for a good Pinza, I'd go as high as $5.
I see. Well, it so happens that I am a singer.
Say, that's great. Mr. Howard, you like to make a quick $5.
This sounds like it might be a lot of fun. Miss, it's a deal. I'll do it for $5.
Okay, but are you sure that you can imitate an opera singer?
Why not? I have been imitating one for years.
But now, wait a minute. I wonder if you look anything like the real Ezio Pinza.
Well, I have been told that he and I have quite a resemblance.
Yeah? How come?
Well, you see, we are related by marriage.
By whose marriage?
By fathers and mothers.
Now, here's my address. You be there at 7:30 tonight for a little rehearsing, and then we'll go next door to Miss Dodge's where you can sing, okay?
Yes. Just one thing. How are Mrs. Dodge's acoustics?
Oh, I don't know. I think she had them taken out with her tonsils. I'll see you tonight. So long.
Well, here I am, young lady. What do I have to rehearse?
Well, besides the singing, I told Miss Dodge that S.L. Pinter was an old flame, so I guess that you have to sort of kind of make love to me, too.
An old flame? Well, perhaps I could give you a little kiss on the hand.
Look, the flame ain't so old, the pilot lights out. Say, now, if we're going to palm you off as real Ezio Pinza, maybe you'd dare to make love to me in Italian.
All right. How about this? La mia bella bambina. Ti amo. Ti adoro.
Well, I don't know what that means, but shoot the spumoni to me, Tony. You're kind of cute and handsome, and, well, I sort of figured that you'd be kissing me tonight, so I...
Well?
Well, I put on my open-toed shoes.
What has open-toed shoes got to do with my kissing you?
Well, if my toes is going to tingle, I won't let them see what's causing it. I don't know, though. Of course, you'd have to go some to be as romantic as the real Ezio Pinza.
I would?
Yeah, sure, but, well, let's give it a try. Come on, big boy, how about a little kiss?
Young lady, please.
Shut, you don't have to beg. I'll kiss you.
I'm sorry, miss, but I never kiss women I do not know.
Well, just kiss me once and you'll know me a lot better.
No.
How about a hug?
No.
Well, then hold my hand.
No.
Saint Ben, is this easy on?
No, it ain't as easy as I thought it'd be. Joe, this here's the fella who's going to sing for the Dodgers.
Well, that's no sign that you got to go nuts over him.
Oh, but Joe, he says he can sing just like Ezio Pinza.
Well, so what? Get a load of this now. Get this, Jim. Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger. Yeah, Buster, now, how would you sing that?
Under an assumed name.
Judy, if you're going to play this character here, you ought to find out first that the guy has got a voice. Hey, Bud, sing something.
Okay, Bud. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. Do, si, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do.
Who wrote them lyrics? Was that the guy who wrote Good Night, Irene?
Actually, I can sing more than just a scale. Would you like to hear me sing a little love song?
Sure. We got some time to kill anyhow before we go over to the Dodgers. Go, rip into it.
Yeah.
se quiere de verdad. Yo así te amé como a nadie pude amar, con esta fuerza de un amor sensual. Mas este sueño fue fugaz, porque muy pronto se alejó. Amé, my heart repeats it night and day. It is the only way I say I love you. One glance and then you held me in a trance. Oh, what a beautiful romance. Te amé. Oh, someone else here now has claimed you. Within my heart I still have framed you. Came dawn and to my sorrow you were gone. But still my heart sings on and on. But te amé.
Why, dearest, it's Ezio Pinza in person.
Yes.
What? Hey, mister, are you really Ezio Pinza?
Am I Ezio Pinza?
Am I Ezio Pinza?
Gee, he don't know neither.
Slightly, Miss Canova. We didn't think you could do it, but here, before our very eyes, is Ezio Pinza himself.
Yeah, imagine the honor of having in my own house a fella who can sing as good as Tennessee Ernie. But you know, mister, I still don't believe you're Ezio Pinza.
Well, this may identify me.
Some enchanted evening, you may see a friend door.
There.
You sound like Ezio Pinza, but I still won't believe it till I see if you kiss like Ezio Pinza. Yeah, I heard that when he kisses a girl, her heart skips a beat, her pulse starts to flutter, and she gets cold chills and a high fever.
Very well. If that is the kind of proof you want, come here, let me kiss you.
Judy Canova fans, we finally got her in. A very healthy segment there, too.
In the visual art, you can always recognize faces. In the audio arts, you recognize voices, and there were familiar voices in there. Verna Felton.
Yes.
And who was the fellow who came in the moment I recognized that voice?
Sheldon Leonard.
Sheldon Leonard. Yeah. Yeah. It's also interesting how in early radio they will make use of silence. For instance, during the kissing scene there.
Oh, he absolutely kissed her.
That's a silent exchange, but you hear the audience response.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had several lights lit up.
I know. I guess it's time to move into the telephones here. We've got 848-4425 if you want to call us and talk with either Eric or myself. And let's see what we've got.
Also coming up, we're going to hear from Bob Hope. There's a lot of Christmas on the show today. Phil Harris, Alice Faye, Miss Brooks, Eve Arden. Groucho Marx?
Yes.
Is this a repeat?
It's a repeat, but we've had several requests for more Groucho, and we don't usually do a whole lot of Groucho Marx. Most of the ones I have are not in very good sound, so I don't feature those too often. But this is a funny one that we did, well, during last year's marathon, as a matter of fact.
Again, our number is 848-4425 for any of our listeners who would like to call in and ask Bud questions about early radio or about his programs coming up. During the week, there was a kind of tragic note in the news about a very famous man in early radio, wasn't there?
Freeman Gosden, yes.
He died just...
yesterday.
Just yesterday, mm-hmm. Yeah. He was, of course, Amos and Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And while many of our listeners and many people, I suppose, when they think about it, have some qualms about all that they did, what they did do was dazzling and entertain people years and years and years and years.
Certainly did, yes.
And we want to give some little acknowledgement to their artistry this morning, but we first got a phone call there.
We've got a call. All right, let's take it. Good morning. This is Bud Carey.
Yeah, am I on the air?
You are.
Okay. Say, Bud?
Yes.
I was wondering, you never played any quiz shows, with the Big Money Show. You play it pays to be ignorant, but you've never played the serious ones like Dr. IQ, and I wonder if you could find that in your library for the for future program.
Okay, we'll jot it down.
Yeah, I
like
that.
There were several of them. I beg your pardon?
Also, if you could find Break the Bank with Burt Parks. I don't like the one with Bud Collyer.
Okay.
If you could.
Sure.
And I was thinking, let's see, are you familiar with the news quiz show? It was the NBC news correspondents and actors, and they had a program. Who said that?
That's right. I do remember.
And I wonder if you could find that also. And
we're writing everything down.
Yeah. And let's see.
Something else?
Yeah, quiz shows are really a...
Sure, let's see. I wonder if you have the... I wonder if you could find the Lux Radio Theater. It's a Lux Radio Theater presentation. I don't know what it is. It's kind of a Christmas play, if you could find it. Christmas, something to do with Christmas, if you could find what something...
Well, for Pete's sake, they were on for 30 years. That's going to be a job.
Well, I enjoy your program anyway, and I use those... I collect them a lot.
Good.
I'm an old-time radio collector.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you joined us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We have another call, Bob.
Oh, right. This is Bud Carey.
Yes, hello. I enjoyed your presentation of Judy Canova. One of the things I used to like on the Judy Canova program was when they would have her parents. I think they were supposed to be mountaineers.
Yes.
And if you have a chance to play one of those segments, those were really a lot of fun.
Well, she played her own mother, as a matter of fact. There was Ma and Pa.
Right.
Joe Kearns was the father, and she played the mother's part.
Those were really splendid.
Yeah, I've got several of those. We'll put it on.
I look forward to that. Another thing, when I was young, I used to listen to a lot of these news commentators. A lot of them had 15-minute programs, like Edward P. Morgan and Gabriel Heater.
Right.
And I sort of got my original, I suppose, news about the world that way, because they explained things more than, let's say, the 5-minute newscast did. And if you ever have a chance to play some of those, another one, Elmer Davis.
Oh, yes, I remember him.
And I believe that they were basically network programs, and usually about 15 minutes, around, I guess, 7 o'clock in the evening, usually before the main network entertainment shows.
Right.
I enjoy listening to those sometimes.
Okay.
Thank you. I really enjoy your work.
Oh, good. Thank you for calling.
Again, our number is 848-4425, and you can talk with Bud about anything you'd like on early radio. Freeman Gosden, is there anything about his life that would be interesting to consider before we hear a little portion?
Well, in spite of being both of them, Freeman Gosden and Charles Carell, of course, were Amos and Andy. They started out as Sam and Henry in the 20s. Then it became Amos and Andy. And all the ratings on radio, Amos and Andy was the most popular show of all time in the history of radio, believe it or not. And they were very private people, though. They were not publicized a whole lot. They didn't go into their personal lives in any way. They just did their job, and that was that.
Yeah, I remember listening to them.
Oh, gosh. All
night
of America.
After night, all around the radio.
Let's take another call here.
We have another call here.
Yeah.
Two, in fact.
Good morning. This is Bud Carey.
Back in the 1940s, one of my favorite programs was one called The Hermit's Cave, which was similar to programs like Lights Out and Quiet Please. I was wondering if you have any of the old recordings of them.
I've got a couple of those, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing some of those. I haven't heard them for many years.
Yeah, well, a lot of those were done live, and they didn't survive on transcription and tape, of course.
Uh-huh.
There was no tape at that time.
Yeah.
But there are a few around, and I've got some, so we'll put them on.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay. I should say, too, to our listeners that when you make requests like this and you wonder what happens with them, They don't get on right away because we schedule for the KPFA program guide, folio, well over a month in advance. So some of the things that were requested in September didn't get on until November. That's just the way the thing goes. So what's being asked for today, if we can come up with, will likely not be heard until February. We have another call. Good morning.
Good morning. There used to be a program on the Mutual Don Lee Network.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Shortest 15 Minutes in Radio, and it was a series of skits, one of which was Sadie Black, Girl, Groundhog, and they had each time they'd play some little piece of music, and there'd be the lines, Shall We Dance?
Mm-hmm.
They'd play that and go on to another skit. It was about maybe 2 minutes per skit, and about 8 skits. I can't remember the name of the man who was the originator or main actor in that program. He had a bass voice and later went on to television. Do you know what program I'm talking about?
I really don't, but I'm checking my Bible here.
We got up to the Acts of the Apostles.
Yes. Now, it's not listed in here, I'm sorry to say. And this is a very comprehensive book, by the way. It's called Tune In Yesterday, but I don't see it listed in there. We'll have to do some research for you.
Yeah, if I find the name of the program, I'll try to get in touch with you and see if you can get some parts of it. It was really fantastic. It was sort of the predecessor of the Goon Show.
Oh.
It was that type of humor, very rapid fire, and at least on a similar quality to the Goon Show, maybe preceded the Goon Show.
Well, maybe somebody will come up with them. Every time we do this program live, somebody will always call or write and say, hey, I've got one of those.
Oh, God, it would be great if they did.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Okay, thank you.
That's why we like to share these things.
We should play a radio game of try to stump the experts,
yeah,
you know.
Really
programs. Do you remember one called The Ghost Walks?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Do you remember one called The Phantom Dancer?
Yes, I've got a couple of those.
Well, I didn't stump you.
No, not on that.
Do you want to take one more call before you?
Good morning. This is Old Radio Theater.
Good morning. I was wondering if you people, any of you gentlemen, have ever attended any of the old-time radio conventions. I understand they just had one in October.
Oh, I did some years ago, as a matter of fact.
Seriously, they just had one. And I just wanted to know what goes on at those places where they have these old shows and personalities interviewed.
Well, the one I went to in Los Angeles was really more of a seminar than it really was a convention.
Oh.
And there was all kinds of discussion about bringing radio back and doing it live again, which, of course, has happened to some extent with the Sears Radio Theater and the CBS Mystery Theater.
Mm-hmm.
But the general consensus at that time was is that radio, as we featured on our own radio theater, would just never happen again. It's too expensive now.
Well, I'm a collector, and sometimes I feel like I used to feel like I was the only one out there collecting, but there are some organizations.
Oh, you're not alone by any means.
They have some organizations offer extensive lending libraries for people too, and although I don't want to mention any names on the radio, there are a couple that someone wants to dig.
Yeah, and there are all kinds of people that sell this stuff too, and a lot of it in very good quality and some of it in very poor quality. You have to be somewhat selective with whom you deal with.
Oh yes, right.
Well, I thank you for calling.
Okay, and thank you for all the good shows.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Well, perhaps we can hear that little section with Freeman Gosling.
Yeah, it runs a little bit longer, so I think we better save it at this point because we have 10 o'clock break for station ID. This is KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, and in Fresno it's KFCF. And with me today is Eric Bowersfeld and John Hester in the control room. We'll go now to Amos and Andy. This was from their traditional Christmas show, and, well, you mentioned it at the beginning. Amos's daughter had spotted a doll in a department store window, and she just wants it so bad. And they don't have all the money in the world, so it looks like she might not get it. So Andy decides he's going to take a job as Santa's helper.
Mr. Brown, you look very well in that outfit.
Yes, sir.
I see you've got that pillow in there just right.
That ain't no pillow, that's me.
Well, I think you're going to make a fine Santa Claus, Mr. Brown. Now, you just put on these whiskers and hat, and you're all set.
Yes, sir. Now, what must I do, Mr. Simmons?
Well, you can get into the toy department right through the back door of my office here. The Santa Claus chair is right there.
Yes, sir. And I just sits there and talks to the children, huh?
That's right. You just have the children come up one at a time, and if you run into any difficulties of any kind, just call the floor walker.
Yes, sir. If I have any trouble, I'll call the floor walker.
Good luck, Santa. Right through that door there.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, there's the Santa Claus chair. A lot of children waiting already, too. Uh-oh, they done spotted me. Hey, quiet, 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 kids, quiet. Wait a minute, wait a minute. I better sit down here and get started. All right, Sonny. You is first. Come right up here and sit on Santa Claus's lap. That's the boy. Now, tell Santa Claus, what did you want for Christmas?
I want a hop-along Cassidy hat, a hop-along Cassidy shirt, hop-along Cassidy spurs, hop-along Cassidy belt, a hop-along Cassidy gun, hop-along Cassidy boots, and a hop-along Cassidy toothbrush.
Well, and tell me something, little fella. Just who is your favorite cowboy star?
Roy Rogers.
Hey, you is a nice little boy, you know it. What is your name?
Sammy Jackson.
Well, tell me something, Sammy. Have you been a good boy?
Yeah.
I ought to know that without asking. You look like a smart little fellow. I bet you were smart in school.
No, I ain't.
You ain't smart in school?
No, I ain't.
I bet you try hard, though, don't you?
No, I don't.
Well, you're going to try hard after you go back after the vacation, though, ain't you?
No, I ain't. I ain't never gonna try hard because I hate school. And there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Oh, floor walker. Can you come over here, floor walker?
If I get everything I ask for, I'll try hard.
Never mind, floor walker. That's a good little boy, Sammy. You just hang up your stocking and everything's gonna be all right.
Okay, thank you, Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Am I next?
Yeah, you is next. My, my. Say, you is a sweet little girl. Now, what can Santa do for a pretty little girl like you?
Mommy said when I came up here, I could sit on your lap.
Oh, sure, yeah. Let me lift you up here. There you is. You as light as a feather. What's your name, honey?
Patricia Washington.
That's a pretty name, too. And that's a pretty little coat you got on there.
My mother made it for me. She made my hat, too.
Well, Patricia, I suppose you come up to tell me what you want for Christmas.
No, Santa. I wrote you a letter about that. I just came up to visit with you.
Oh, well, that was nice of you, yeah.
I guess when you've been out delivering presents all Christmas Eve, when you get home, you must be awfully tired, Santa Claus.
Yeah, I guess I is pretty tired of that, yeah.
And I'll bet your little girl comes up to you and throws her arms around you like I do when my daddy comes home tired.
Well, no, honey, my little girl don't do that because, you see, I don't have no little girl. I live by myself.
All by yourself?
All by myself.
Then, just for today, I'll be your little girl. Here.
Oh, thank you, honey. Thank you very much.
Why, Santa Claus, didn't you like it having a little girl hug and kiss you? I noticed there's a tear running down your cheek.
Oh, no, honey. I like that more than I could ever tell you. But don't you pay no attention to that tear. It's just that at Christmas time, your eye is liable to do funny things to you. And I'll tell you something else, too. Santa is really going to come to your house this year.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas to you, honey. All right, who's next?
I'm next.
Come right up, Sonny. What's your name?
Jonathan Waldorf Curtis Higgins, the third.
Oh, floor walker.
Well, there for the Amos and Andy fans. Well, that's a lovely excerpt, I think.
Yeah, it's very cute. We didn't hear, unfortunately, Amos, but we did mention that Freeman Garston, who played Amos for so many years, he was how old when he died? Just
83
years old.
Yeah. Had quite a career.
Yeah. Well, our phone number is still 848-4425, and you can call up Bud and talk to him about old radio. Try to think of something that he that he doesn't know the answer to?
Well, that's not hard to do.
And well, he's got his Bible here, and it's a it's one of those that you leave in hotel rooms at Gideon.
Well, I sort of treat it that way, but I take it wherever I go when I'm doing this kind of thing.
Oh, that's an autographed copy, I understand.
No.
Bob Hope is coming up.
Yes, but also as a phone call.
As a phone call.
Yes. Good morning. This is Bud Gary.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pretty good. Love the old radio shows. I'd like to ask you about the Jack Benny show.
We just did two last week.
Okay. Anyway, there's that Christmas show with B. Arthur on it.
Yes.
Who's the floor walker in that? The guy that goes, wow!
Yeah, it's Frank Nelson.
Frank Nelson?
Mm-hmm. He was with Jack Benny for many, many years.
That guy's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well.
What else can I do for you? That's it, huh?
You going to play that B. Arthur, Jack Benny again?
It's not B. Arthur. It's B. Benaderet.
Oh, B. Benaderet. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Good morning. This is Bud Carey.
Hi, Bud.
Hi.
I'm a longtime fan of yours. And,
oh, I'm glad to hear that.
About 20 years ago, when I was in military school, the show the kids were not allowed to listen to were shows like Lights Out and Witch's Cauldron and such.
Yes.
Of course, we listened to and ended up in the middle of the floor with all the sharp objects and all the lights on. I was wondering if I could request more of the good and tasteless but very spooky shows such as Lights Out, Witch's Cauldron. I can't even remember the names of them.
I think it was Witch's Cave, not Witch's Cauldron.
I'm getting my EC comments confused here, I think.
Witch's Tale is what it was, yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to request for more of that kind of stuff from you.
Well, we do it from time to time, but, you know, we like to do a variety of things, and I get criticized if I do too much of the same thing all the time.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
But I was hearing all these votes for Bob Hope and Amos and Andy. I thought, let's get mine in.
Well, of course. We're going to do more comedy in January, however. I have to warn you now.
That's good, too.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you very
much. You bet. Old Radio Theater, this is Bud Carey.
Hi, Bud. I guess first I wanted to, as everyone else seems to want to do, thank you for your work. We certainly appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
Okay. And I was wondering if your collection of radio plays extends as far as things like from the CBC and the BBC, some of
yes,
the older classics.
Surely.
Sometimes heard.
And Mr. Bauersfeld, sitting right next to me, has many of those beautiful programs.
And I'd certainly like to request that.
Okay.
And thank you again.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, we do emphasize American broadcasting, Earl Radio. It's harder to get these BBC programs. We have many in our archives here, though, and they're longer. They're
like quite,
2 hours,
yeah,
3 hours.
Yeah, they're real productions.
Yeah, for something more recent, do you think you could get something from the old KSAN? Like the Watergate Follies or something like that?
Well, you know,
dated now, but I think it'd still be funny. You know?
No, we like to do our own things here. Just recently, in fact, last month, we borrowed from KPEN their 1964 version of War of the Worlds. And with their permission, we played it here at KPFA. But I don't really like to do that all that much. They use their call letters almost to ad nausea.
Mm.
And we are KPFA, and we like to keep it that way.
Yeah, but You're playing other radio station stuff now, right?
No, we just did it one time. That's the first time and the only time I've ever done it.
Well, you're just like what you just played. That was previously on another radio station, right?
Well, it was on a network.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't on a specific station.
Right. Yeah, well, I think that stuff is a classic in its own way, you know.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, I think maybe that previous caller about the fastest 15 minutes in radio was talking about Jack Kirkwood. You know, put something in the pot, boy.
Oh, yeah, could have been.
Because he was on in the early evening, you know, 7, 8:30.
Oh, he was on everything, too.
And I used to like his skits about Jack Kirkpatrick and Kirk Kirkpatrick, the travelogues, as the sun slowly sinks.
Yes.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hi, let me turn my...
Yeah, it gets confusing if you don't turn your radio down.
I'm a fan. I think I've been listening to you almost as long as you've been on KPFA, including the big hunk when you were... when you left it for a while.
When I got mad and quit, yes.
Suddenly, in the middle of the program, they decide this is the end of Bud Carey because the time's up and you got on late.
Oh, that was not too long ago, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, what A couple of callers back, somebody talked about the thing you did on Halloween, the KPEN thing.
Yeah.
And you sort of implied, I guess, that you weren't going to do them anymore. I thought it was great fun, even though it was the ping-pong stereo and...
Well, that was done in 1964 when they were still fooling around with stereo that way.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'd never heard it. I guess I wasn't particularly listening to current radio then.
Well, I've had it in my collection for quite... Well, since it was broadcast, and we had a listener who called on this very program in September and said he understood there were three versions of War of the Worlds. And I said, yes, there are. So with their permission, we got a hold of it, and we played it. And but no, I'm not implying we won't do it, but I think we'd rather continue the way we're going.
Oh, I like the old shows.
Yeah.
You know, no objection there, but here's something I've never heard, and there's a finite limit to the old shows, and eventually the same ones seem to get played on some of the other programs as well as yours.
Not in as good sound as mine.
That's pretty much true. Certainly the one on the commercial station doesn't.
No.
Which brings me up to another question I'd like to ask Eric, since he's with you.
He's right here.
Do you really have to put the KPFA Drama Theater on Sunday nights opposite the only other non-commercial radio station that does old radio?
Golly, I didn't know that I did that. I don't listen to radio much. Is that true? You mean there's an old radio program at 7 o'clock on Sunday night?
At 7 o'clock, if I can mention, it's a non-commercial station on KUSF.
It is, eh? Well, you're sure you can mention it.
Okay.
I'll look into that. We get things like drama on the air when we can here.
Oh, I understand.
And so I'm lucky I have that at all.
I understand.
Some of our programmers are very, very cooperative and might be possible to trade time. I'll look into that. Thanks.
Yeah, because from 7 to 8, what I do is I have to tape one and listen to it afterwards.
I can't
quite follow with two ears, two different stations.
Well, in a sense, some of the things that I put on that program is old radio, but many of it comes from more recent drama and from Europe and England and other sources.
Yeah, last summer I spent about a month in Australia, and what they're doing on current radio drama is quite a bit.
We must get those. We must get those. If you get any information about them, let me know, because we can get these things.
I think we better move on.
Okay, well, one suggestion is just to write to the Australian Broadcasting Company, which is like the BBC, and they have at least a couple of series every week of current drama.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for calling.
That. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good morning.
I'd like to request that you put on some of the World War II news broadcasts that Edward R. Murrow did or that Al Liddell did on the BBC. I don't know if those are on tape.
Oh, a lot of them have been recorded on disc, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good to hear if you make a program together out of those.
Okay.
You know, more outstanding broadcasts.
I did a news show a few years ago, and somebody stole the tape. So I don't know what that says about doing that kind of show, but somebody wanted it.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is Bud Carey.
I thought I'd phone in with a little bit of news on current drama. They've decided to cancel the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty touch and go anyway.
So I think we've had it for current drama.
Yeah, I think we have, too. It's awfully expensive.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Well, if you match it to a network, right? And I'd like to make a request for the album Arch Obler did called Drop Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We play that every so often.
Yeah, well, there's one particular routine on it, or play, called the Giant Chicken Heart.
Chicken Heart.
Yes, yeah. We get requests for that all the time.
Yeah, well, I've never heard it yet.
Oh, well, you will.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
You bet. Thanks for calling. Well, let's hear what Bob Hope has to say about Christmas in Hollywood.
I want to tell you that Christmas is practically here as far as we're concerned. Santa Claus Lane on Hollywood Boulevard is officially open, and the opening ceremonies were wonderful. Santa was in his sleigh with his reindeer pulling it, and it was typical Southern California. Santa wore open-toed boots, the reindeer had mascara antlers, and the sleigh didn't have runners on it, it had pontoons. And there were a lot of beautiful girls riding in Santa's sleigh with him. I played it smart. I held some mistletoe over my head and went out and stood next to them as they passed. You know those reindeer have the coldest noses? And I want to say that if you haven't sent out your Christmas cards yet, it's time. Everywhere you see, everyone's looking for a mailbox. I stopped on the corner of Hollywood and Vine tonight for a minute, and four people dropped letters in my mouth. Well, anyway, here we are in Los Angeles, and we're all dreaming of a white Christmas. With this smog, that's all we can do, dream. I shouldn't kid about the smog, though. The mayor of Los Angeles just hired 50 scientists, and they figured out a way to get rid of this terrible smog. They want us all to breathe in a little harder. Thank you, suffers. And the smog even makes Santa Claus look different. When he came along in his sleigh this evening, little kid yelled, "Look, Ma, Bluebeard." You know, some of those office parties can get pretty gay. Take the one we had over at the studio. Around 2 o'clock, they started playing that game called What's My Name? And at 5 o'clock, they weren't kidding. It was quite a party, and they had unusual decorations. Well, they weren't really decorations. Crosby just stood next to Phil Harris. Boy, they were really Christmassy. The red nose and the green money belt. I want to tell you. All the fellas were kissing the girls at the party, Tony Martin. Even Mickey Rooney was doing it. Of course, the Mick is a little short for that close contact work, but he's perfected a wonderful technique. He just throws a bucket over their heads and pulls himself up by the handle. And what crowds. Everybody's shopping. Jack Benny was shopping, too. Jack had an awful dizzy spell. Dropped a dime in a revolving door, and it took him 5 minutes to find it. I asked Jack Benny what he was buying. He said, not very much, because he already has 100 gifts at home to distribute among his friends. His Christmas seals have arrived. A lot of Hollywood people were in the crush. I saw a man with a black mustache and heavy eyebrows lying under one of the tables. I shook him and said, Groucho? He said, no, why no? Zsa Zsa Gabor was in the crowd, and a big roughneck shoved me against Zsa Zsa 3 times. I was going to say something to the guy, but he left before I could thank him. And, of course, I did my family shopping first, so I asked the clerk what I should get for my boys. She said, I'm sorry, I don't believe I know what boys want. You should have seen her. She didn't. I wanted our street to have the prettiest Christmas decorations in the neighborhood, so I strung colored bulbs from house to house all the way down the block. And I did all the electric wiring myself. If you'd like further information, just drive down Moore Park Street in North Hollywood. We're the third pile of ashes from the corner. You'll love it.
Well, that's Bob Hope's discussion of Christmas in Hollywood.
You have some Phil Harris and Alice Faye.
Yes.
I haven't heard from them in a long time.
Well, we play them from time to time. I don't have too many in my collection, but the ones I have, I think, are an awful lot of fun. We'll get to them in a second. Let's take the next telephone call. Good morning. This is Bud Carey.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering if at some point you have something in your library with the voice of Firestone or the Telephone Hour, some of those Monday night musical shows that used to be on, or even Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts,
yes,
or one of those things.
I've got well over 200 Voice of Firestones and almost 300 Telephone Hours.
But I enjoy those.
We don't do too many of the music shows. People seem to be more interested in the mysteries and the dramas.
Right.
Yeah, but every so often we do, so if you keep following us, you may get it.
Oh, I do. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Okay, well, I think we're getting short on time here, Eric. Let's go to the Phil Harris and Alice Faye one.
All right, fine.
Okay.
I wonder where Frankie is. He was supposed to meet me here at the market, and the guy is
Hiya,
always...
Hi, Charlie.
Oh, hello, Remley. Mm-hmm. It's about time he showed up. We got to get stuck. What do you got on?
A few warm clothes for the snow country. 2 suits of long underwear, 4 sweaters, a lumber jacket, a Mackinaw, a parka, a coonskin cap, and a raccoon coat over the whole thing.
How do I look? Like a blob of hairy blubber. Now look, what have you got in a case strapped around your waist? Batteries? My red flannels are electrically heated. All that stuff in electric underwear? Aren't you a little overheated? No. I ain't plugged in. And another thing, Remley, you got that coonskin cap on wrong. The tail's supposed to be in the back. Oh, Remley, you didn't have to put all that stuff on until we got... Oh, never mind. There's Julius. Hey, I've got to ask you if you'll loan us this truck. Hey, Julius!
Hi, Mr.
Hart. Hi, kid.
Well, if it ain't a nook of the north. Hey, Mr. Harris, what's Klondike Clyde dressed up for?
Well, we're going up to the snow country, and he's prepared for it.
Oh. What's that ridiculous-looking thing hanging down in front of his face?
That's his nose.
I mean, that other ridiculous-looking thing.
That's a tail.
Oh. And his face is very becoming.
Yeah, from the front, he looks like a sheepdog from the back. Oh, I am just convulsed by this hilarious routine, huh? What's the matter with you guys? You think you never saw somebody wearing a nose muff before?
What are you going up to the snow country for?
Well, we're going up to get a community tree for the town, and, well, we want to borrow your delivery truck to bring it back, Julius. Can we have it?
What kind of a question is that? For such a noble cause to help humanity, to bring Yuletide cheer to my fellow townsmen, I'd have to be the lowest kind of heel to refuse permission for you gentlemen.
All right, never mind the speech, never mind. Where are the keys to the truck?
In my pocket, but you might have a little trouble getting up to the mountains.
Why?
I ain't gonna lend you the truck.
But you just made a big speech about noble causes. What was that for?
I like to hear myself talk. I'll lend you the truck if I do the driving.
Okay, okay, you can do the driving. Now, come on, will you? We got to pick up Mrs. Harris and Willie. And then, fellas, we're off to the mountains.
Can't we stop down one of these small trees?
No, no, we're not going to give up. Now, we came up here to get a great big tree, and that's what we're going to get.
Oh, but Phil, the snowstorm is getting worse. Let's get back to the truck. I'm freezing.
That's the trouble with you women. You can't take it. I'd like to keep you warm, but I don't know how.
Well, it might help if you gave me back my fur coat.
Oh. Well, if you want to be selfish, take it. Here. Ooh.
Hey, you're right. It's freezing without that coat. How do you feel, Frankie?
Very comfy. I just plugged myself in. My thermostat says I'm 78. I think I'll turn it up to 85.
Let's get back to the truck. Phil.
Huh?
Do you smell smoke?
Yeah, I do. Frankie, it's coming from you.
From me?
Yeah.
How do you like that? I got a short circuit in my red flannel.
Oh, we've got to get out of here. I'm freezing.
I'm freezing, too.
I'm sweating. Maybe I better turn down the damper on my underwear.
Frankie, will you be quiet a minute?
Freeze to death. Oh, Alice, I might as well confess. I hate to tell you this, but, honey, we're lost. I don't know where we are.
Well, what are you worrying about? If we're not back at the truck soon, Willie and Julius will come looking for us.
Yeah, but suppose they get here late. It's getting colder every minute. We're lost in this bleak, desolate wilderness, and I'm freezing. Freezing. Do you hear me? Freezing.
What are you getting excited about? Take it easy.
How can I? I'm starting to get numb and my feet are frozen. Look at my little ankles. They're blue. My ankles are blue.
Those are your socks. Nothing wrong with your feet.
I say there is something wrong. My leg is frozen stiff. Look, Frankie, I'm pinching it and there's no feeling in it. Why is there no feeling in my leg?
Maybe it's because it's my leg you're pinching.
Well, this is a fine time for that.
He's right, honey. Drag it out of the way. Now, look, kid, don't worry, because I'm going to get you out of this. And, Alice, honey, control yourself. Don't get hysterical. Please don't get hysterical.
I'm not hysterical.
Don't argue with me. And if you, Remley, will you keep calm and stop blubbering like a baby?
Who's blubbering? I'm happy as a bird dog.
Don't change the subject. Now, wait a minute, Frankie. Get a grip on yourself, because we're a couple of big, strong men, and it's up to us to rescue this frail woman.
You're right. Let's get this frail out of here.
Well, that's Phil and Alice.
We have a little Groucho Mark coming up. There might be a little time for it. Our phone number still is 848-4425 if you'd like to call up and ask Bud some questions about Early Radio and
this
program.
A little more than 3 minutes left.
3 minutes left.
Yeah.
We never get through all the things that you bring here on these live programs.
Well, these today ran a little bit longer than the usual things that we do, but I had promised some Christmas selections, so there's a few of them in here today.
I was thinking, you know, someone should do a study on precocious children in early radio, because most of the children we heard today, particularly the ones coming up to Santa Claus and in the Phil Harris Show, are nasty little buggers, I think mostly because a lot of people in radio ever since, well, I guess people like W.C. Fields, there's always a problem about children in theater. They tend to be precocious and steal the scenes.
Always.
So that there might be something there for a researcher on why children in radio and in movies often are precocious.
Well, as a lot of the people the kids that were on radio weren't really kids. In this case, with Julius, it was played by Walter Tetley, who was on Great Gildersleeve as well.
Yeah.
Who was a grown man. Oh, we've got a call here. Let's go ahead and take that one. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if you ever heard of a program called Big John and Sparky?
Yes.
Do you have any of those?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? Do you ever play them?
From time to time. They kind of nauseate me, to be honest with you.
It was my favorite show growing up in Minnesota, and I've never heard anything about it since.
Well, I have played it in the past, and of course, I do try to put aside my own preferences, so there's a chance that you'll get to hear it one of these times.
Okay, great.
Thanks for calling.
John and Sparky.
Yeah, Big John. Yeah, Big John and Sparky.
Do we have time to hear a bit of Groucho?
It's very short. We'll get into it, and then we'll come up with theme and say goodbye to everybody.
Well, welcome. Welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mrs. Yvonne Weber and Mr. William McWright, eh? Mr. McWright, I'll call you Mac, eh?
Save Everybody some calls me Mac.
In other words, Mac is Jake with you, is that all right?
That's right.
Well, tell me, Jake, where are you from? Now, you're supposed to have an unusual occupation. What is it, Mac?
I sell clothing in Alaska.
You do, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess they need it up there. Yeah. Well, tell us about your job. Who buys your clothes in Alaska?
Well, I sell most professional...
I thought anybody was bare up there.
Well, I sell most professional men in Alaska. In fact, men in all walks of life.
Uh-huh.
I sell them the world's finest clothes, tailored by Richard McIntosh of Hollywood. In fact, most Alaskans have
a dozen... You forgot the address.
Didn't I say Richard McIntosh in Hollywood?
Yeah, but you didn't give the street address.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. You don't know the number, huh?
You're allowed to advertise?
Oh, sure. We enjoy it. We don't want to discuss the DeSoto here. What we like to do is try to...
912 Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, good. That's good.
Thank
what
you.
We try to do is sell other products here, you see. Because the sponsor gets real angry if we mention his product. How old are you, Mac?
I'm 52.
Well, you don't look it.
Thank you.
Look about 38. Mrs. Weber, I'll just call you Yvonne, eh?
That's right.
Where is your home?
I live in Los Angeles, California.
Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
No, go right ahead.
You don't know what the question is. It's not the question you think it is that I'm going to ask you. I'm just going to ask you how old you are.
I'm 30.
30, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You don't look it. You don't look a day over 25. You say you're married, eh?
That's right.
What does your husband do for a living?
He's a thread booker for Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company.
He's a what?
A thread booker.
Well, give him my congratulations. What is a thread broker?
I don't know.
Don't you know what your husband does? What does he tell you?
Nothing. He keeps away from my pots and pans, and I keep away from his tires.
Well, that's very shrewd, especially if you don't want to get run over. Are you handy around the kitchen, Yvonne?
Oh, I think I am.
What kind of dishes do you like to prepare?
Oh, I love to prepare tacos, enchiladas, tamales, frijoles. They're wonderful.
Well, we've run out of time. We'll do the Groucho Marx bit another time. This has been Bud Carey. It's been Old Radio Theater. Our thanks to John Hester today and to my guest and my boss, so to speak, Eric Bowersfeld.
Yes, come now.
Yes, we will do this again sometime in the coming year. Next week, we have the traditional Christmas show from Grand Central Station and Fibber McGee and Molly's Christmas show. This is Bud Carey. Thanks very much for listening.
Well, coming up next on KPFA is Focus on Women in Music, and your host will be Corey Cody.